You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. You could be a big part. All you got to do is dial the phones. Talk or text 855-752-4842. Got Just PS working hard on the board. Got some great sound for you folks today and jazzed as hell. It's overtime with our pal Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, airing right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. preceding this fine production. Hey, Maggie, welcome back.
What's up, Dom? What's up, Jess? How are you?
Oh, fantastic. You know, I'm actually in a pretty good mood. And I know people are just beside themselves with all the stuff. And I think to myself, I look at the headlines and kind of step back. I'm like, man, this administration is having a hell of a time getting anything done. And as we talk about this, and one of our conservative callers from yesterday was like, well, do you want Donald Trump to be successful? I mean, well, you know, define that. You know what I mean?
Did you want Joe Biden to be successful? Right. That's a handy rubric to fall back on these days.
Well, even so, you can define it. And I'll be very specific. No, if Donald Trump's version of success is gutting the 14th Amendment and getting rid of birthright citizenship on an executive order, no, I want him to fail miserably at that. So with most things, with MAGA and this administration, you got to take them one by one and ask me a question. I will give you a specific answer. But it's not just me. I'm seeing here, Maggie, as I jump in, I review my tabs for the notes for today. Wisconsin Examiner is a fine example. Here's some of the headlines on the wisconsinexaminer.com. Trump sued over his suspension of refugee resettlement. That's from yesterday. Federal judge orders all grant and loan payments must be resumed by the Trump administration.
Turn those back on. Yeah.
Federal judge blocks catastrophic Trump administration cuts to the NIH grant program. Third judge blocks Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship. And it goes on and on, not just on the local news here, but nationally as well. Judges are lining up left and right and pushing back. And the law and order mega, the Republicans, apparently now they're setting their sights on the federal judiciary. You know, those woke judges who have the temerity to rule against, in some cases, very obviously blatantly unconstitutional acts by this administration. And given the fact that we have, you know, this budget coming up with dates of middle of March that are going to be very important, that the Republicans may need some Democratic help on, there is some leverage, at least in the Senate. I see this as a lot of nothing. And the little cherry on top, just for all the megas out there, some of the reporting I've seen is that the immigration efforts or deportation efforts by this administration is falling short of the Biden and Obama administration, at least to date, if you're tracking numbers, if this is a ball game for you folks, especially given the effort that this man has at least verbally talked about ramping up the deportation efforts. It seems to me in the first 3 weeks, a lot of stagnation, a lot of wheel spinning, certainly a lot of clicks and traffic. You know, Elon Musk all over the place. Twitter's probably getting some good numbers. But the fact of the matter is there has been very little in substance coming from this administration, at least so far. Maggie Dawn, your thoughts.
What's the wrestling term? Kayfabe? I don't know what it is. It means like everybody knows that it's not true, but everybody acts as if it is true. This is what's going on. I mean, no doubt Donald Trump is a big fan of WWE. He behaves accordingly. He's not strong. He's weak. He's not a king. He's a president. He's trying to govern like a king because he can't actually govern like a president. Why would you do all these things by executive order, which will get overturned by many courts? And I'll concede he has a pardon power. He can decide security details. He can place tariffs in place. Like, right? There are lots of things that are executive branch powers, mm-hmm. and he's doing some of those. But the marquee things that he's doing, aren't legal, and he's getting smacked down. I don't know of a court that has turned down an injunction request. I don't know a court that's reversed an injunction that has been granted yet. It'll happen eventually, but he's losing. So he's weak, he's a loser, and Republicans are scared about the billionaire overlord because constituents, conservative or Democratic, don't like billionaire overlords. Period. Full stop. There was no mandate. There's 262 million voting age people in the United States per the last census. He got 77. And nowhere on the bill, on the ballot, did it say Elon Musk runs this.
Right.
Didn't say that. Department of Government Efficiency? Listen, I'll grant you the point that we need to do better on government efficiency, right? Uh-huh. Always. Should always be looking for efficiency. I'm thinking about robust audits, right? Like zero-cost budgeting, redoing how we approach. Sure. No. Just going to let some overt racists and barely out of puberty guys run around amok in our trillion-dollar treasury payment systems? Just turn over all the personnel information to a bunch of barely out of adolescence, not fully brain-developed young men that have been, you know, dispatched by Elon. Do what by what rule, right? Like, why is an audit an audit? What distinguishes it from what Elon Musk is doing? Well, as anyone who is a trained auditor will tell you, is that there are generally accepted auditing standards. Random sampling, here's how you do these, right? There are rules and stated processes that get followed. Who determines what's excessive and what's not? Donald Trump apparently signing an executive order today that's like 4 out of every 5 government employees are going to be gone. Well, on what basis? Oh, wait, I know, the loyalty test. I'm sure that'll result in really good doctoring and nursing and chemistry and drug testing. I asked the question today on my show. If there's someone that works for the FDA that's testing a drug and finds that it is safe and effective and might cure your wife's cancer, and you voted for Donald Trump, but the CEO of the drug manufacturer that just had their drug tested that will cure your wife's cancer spoke out against Donald Trump and is like, that guy's a big fat jerk. And that scientist at the FDA gets a phone call from someone in the Trump administration and is like, yeah, you're tanking that drug because that manufacturer's CEO isn't loyal to Donald Trump. How are you going to feel when your wife dies? That's what this, I mean, like when you boil it down, you distill it down, that's what we're looking at.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. It's Overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. Check her out 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Lots to unpack there. Let's talk specifically about some of the actual executive orders that he can legitimately implement, specifically, I guess, the 25% tariffs on the metals, right? With our allies, specifically, seemingly...
Nothing like a trade war with allies.
And to what end? I mean, obviously, here in the state of Wisconsin, I was reading an article from the reference Lakefront Brewery, one of our favorite breweries right here on the river in Milwaukee.
Love me some Dry Queen Bingo.
Absolutely. We've been there a few times. They use lots of cans. You know, and all of a sudden, their aluminum costs are going up. Well, Russ said, just like everybody else, that's going to get passed along. They're not going to eat that cost. You know, so this is going to specifically drive up costs for, I don't know, call it beer manufacturers. And go down the line with manufacturing, housing, construction.
Housing.
Yes.
Housing. Right. This is going to make housing much more expensive. It's already out of reach for so many. Donald Trump, in an interview, basically said, yeah, stuff might get more expensive, but it'll get cheaper later.
I forgot
that during the debate. I forgot that line. Like, it's going to get more expensive first. Don't worry, everyone. It'll get cheaper later. I don't think that's what people voted for.
That's absolutely what they did not vote for. But they fell for the guy again. He pulls away the football again. I mean, how many times was the repeal and replacement plan for the ACA just 2 weeks away? It was 2 weeks away for the entirety of his administration. When was Infrastructure Week? Oh, that was always us.
Every week is Infrastructure Week.
So, I mean, it's not like he had a track record of success and delivering on these promises, but he was out there again saying the things. And now coming up against the reality is that some of these executive orders, he does not have the authority to do. Some he does. And the ones that he does are seemingly going to specifically go against his campaign promise of reducing cost, which is not what you voted for. Did you vote for a trade war with Canada? You know, mega voters.
I thought he was going to stop the Ukraine war like the day he was sworn in. Thought he was going to solve the whole Mideast peace problem. No, we're going to get, if what he's saying now can be believed, which who the frick knows, we're going to now, what, have a permanent U.S. installation in Gaza? I forgot that part of the debate as well.
That seems like a very bad idea.
Well, and, you know, complete destabilization of the Mideast, cutting off aid funding to Jordan and Egypt and any of the people that we have tenuous ally relationship with. Like, what? I mean, what? That's not going to make Americans safer. That's not going to keep our sons and daughters in uniform from dying.
Yeah, but
it's going to do none of those things.
Well, if you...
Oh, and by the way, I have to mention
yes,
this.
Please.
One of the Musk minions that's mucking about in our systems was fired from a job from leaking corporate secrets yeah. to a competitor. That's the guy that is apparently looking at, like, classified materials. Unbelievable.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Maggie Dawn. We're coming up against a break here, Maggie. On the other side, I want to just throw this one out there. Strategically speaking, the Democrats obviously having some difficulties. Number one, finding, the messaging, quote unquote, or finding their sea legs, getting some attitude. But there are some deadlines coming up. As The Hill reports, Schumer said that the Democrats will use spending bills to curb Musk. Here is a little bit from the reporting. Schumer emphasized that Democrats don't want to see the government shut down, but he vowed that Democrats would seek to halt Musk's aggressive moves to freeze government funding, push federal workers to resign, and shutter agencies such as USAID and the CFPB. Quote, the bottom line is that the Republicans are in charge and we don't want to shut down. It's up to them. But in terms of trying to get in the appropriation bill's language, undoing lots of the many things that they've done that are wrong, yes, we're certainly going to make an effort to do that, Schumer told reporters on Tuesday. That's today. On the other side, Megan, I want to get your sense, your thoughts on what the Democrats' plans may be. Is this a government shutdown? Is that something that Schumer and the Dems would actually go to the mat for? Or is this playing right into the Republicans' hands? Because isn't that what they want to? If they can't come up with these appropriation bills, automatically 1% cuts across the board. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. It's Maggie Dawn. It's overtime with Maggie Dawn, 855-752-4842. Coming back with some of your calls and texts as well.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Doing a little overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Friday. Thank you, Maggie. As we went to break, we're talking about the options that the Democrats in Congress may have. Chuck Schumer specifically quoted. I want to throw a little bit more out there for your consideration and get your opinion on it. Chuck Schumer also said this, according to The Hill, if you want to make cuts, then you do it through a debate in Congress, not lawlessly, just implementing it. One other quote, Senator Andy Kim from New Jersey. I cannot support efforts that will continue this lawlessness that we're seeing when it comes to this administration's actions. And for us to be able to support government funding in that way, only for them to turn around, to dismantle the government, that is not something that that should be allowed. And I guess to that point, Maggie, you know, do they have willing partners on the other side? What's the point of Congress, you know, power over the purse strings, setting the budget, if they give it to the executive branch and they go do what the hell they want anyway?
I think that's a fair point. Here's what I have to say about all of those comments from elected officials. Yawn. How about this? You touch Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, you won't get a single Democrat vote. How about this? You propose tax cuts for billionaires, not a single Democratic vote. How about this? You touch veterans benefit or propose any funding cuts to the VA writ large, not a single vote. You propose to dismantle the Department of Education, not a single vote. Speak about the issues that matter to people. Stop talking about it in generalized terms. Let's get specific here. That is what they need to focus on. Otherwise, you're going to get the mantle of shutting down the government put on your head. It's got to be specific. It's got to be about real-world impacts. Say no to billionaire tax cuts. Say no to VA cuts, veterans benefits. Say no to dismantling the DOE. And say no to cuts to Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. Get specific, people. Lawlessness? Half of America is sitting back and going, woohoo, this is fun. Here's what hasn't happened yet. And the fact that this budget debate is coming up in such a near term is part of the issue. The impacts, the very real world impacts of this hasn't yet started to touch white, middle-aged Trump voters, both men and women. They need to start feeling the impacts. And at minimum, the only things that Democrats should be standing behind are those things that universally Americans, regardless of party, are strong supporters of. That should be the litmus test. Otherwise, he did win in an election. Now, I just think the idea of saying, well, we're going to shut the government down now unless Elon Musk goes away, you're setting yourself up to fail. You cannot make the standard something that you, Democrats, cannot achieve. You are boxing yourself into a corner yet again. Tell people what you know matters to the middle class. I'm not going to support any budget that will increase the cost of housing. I mean, pick one of the things that matters to people. I will not support a budget that will make it harder for consumers to make payments, right? Like, talk about the things that lawlessness. And I like Andy Kim. I think he's a really smart elected official. But this teethless meandering around the stuff that matters is the problem with Democrats. You know what impacts people's lives, so talk about that. Stop talking about process. The best quote that I saw from any Democrat out there was from Representative Jim McGovern in Massachusetts. He said, these guys are running around bragging about a mandate, so they should put on their mandate pants and pass whatever they want to pass.
Right.
Yeah, you damn right. Put on your mandate pants. They're blustering about Donald Trump, again, acts like a king because he can't govern like a president. So make it clear to the American public what your middle class first agenda is, and then contrast that every day with our billionaire overlord, with racists and irresponsible like leakers and all that. Whatever it is, decide what the core issues are. I think I know what they are. They're the things that matter to the middle class, and hammer it every day. Talking about lawlessness is not enough. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, keep hammering away in federal court. Can we walk and chew gum at the same time? And multi-pronged. Half of what he's doing is illegal. I'm not going to say anything about the things that a president can do that are legal. I think the pardons were stupid. We'll sort out the rest in court. But here are the things that matter. Can we simplify it down? The blathering about, like, I hate the way politicians talk, Dom. It infuriates me.
Got a texter chiming in. From the 608, Maggie Dodd for senator. Yeah. We've got some teeth in there. We'll get some teeth. It's Maggie Dodd. It's overtime with Maggie Dodd for just a couple more minutes. 855-752-4842. I want to get your opinion on the Rob Blagojevich pardon, the Eric Adams and mayor of New York. The investigation DOJ is dropping that. Seems like, you know, if you're palling up and buddying up to Donald Trump, you know, the justice goes a little better for you these days.
I'm going to call him the corruption clown. You are the corruption clown, Donald Trump. If you are corrupt, as long as your corruption favors me and my interests, good to go. Rod Blagojevich, an embarrassment to the state of Illinois and the people of the United States. Eric Adams, in my opinion, as a former New Yorker, an embarrassment to the city of New York. These are corrupt public officials. But corruption is the stock and trade of the clown in the White House. That's why we have a billionaire overlord. Why? Because he bought himself a president. He bought himself one of the world's foremost communication platforms. We have to say no to government corruption. Money ain't speech. Corporations aren't people. Period.
And Maggie Dodd, we have a Wisconsin Supreme Court race coming up. Some of the articles today, Dan Bice, Journal Sentinel, billionaires getting involved in the last 45 seconds. How do you think that's going to turn out? How much money is going to be spent in this state?
I'm not worried about the money. I'm worried about who made this possible. It was a decade ago that Robin Voss and Scott Walker enacted legislation that allowed soft money to get funneled to political parties and then passed along to campaigns. Republicans created this problem in the state of Wisconsin, and the only vote on April 1st to turn that back is a vote for Susan Crawford.
Vote for Susan Crawford. Maggie Dodd from the Maggie Dodd Show, a little overtime here on the Dom Salve Show. Check her out, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Maggie, always a pleasure. Thanks for hanging out. Folks, come back with us, 855-752-4842. Let's talk about the impact of these tariffs on the state of Wisconsin coming up next. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank our most recent guest, Overtime with Maggie Dodd. There's some teeth in that conversation the time. You check her out Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. preceding this fine program. You folks are so lucky. Appreciate it, Maggie. We will talk to you next week. Some of the texters loving on some Maggie as well. What we got here? I said the one Maggie Dodd for Senate from the 608. And then Dale, he chimes in. Dom, imagine Maggie and Tammy in the U.S. Senate. Get Rojo out.
I mean, talk about two women who would get things done for Wisconsin.
Right. Loving that. So we'll see, Dale. We'll see.
We'll
see what happens. 855-752-4842. Going to get to the conversation on the tariffs here, but let's get some callers in first. Wayne from Montello, you will be first on the lines today. Wayne, welcome. What do you got for us?
Yes, I just wanted to comment about, number one, I love your guys' show. I think you guys are extremely intelligent. But Maggie said something that made me think of George Carlin when she said even Democrats don't really have the conviction to get stuff done. And that's something that George Carlin said. He goes, where are all the bright people of conscience? He goes, unfortunately, this is the best that we can do. He's like, these are American businessmen. These are American lawyers and educators. And, you know, it's really not the politicians' fault. It's the people that are electing them. And what he said was, you can say that politicians suck, but it's really us.
Yeah.
We're not educated. We don't look into things. We don't look at things logically. And so I think what we really need to take a look at is people who elect these people. I mean, we elected Donald Trump.
Yes, yes. I mean, Wayne, isn't that, I agree in totality, man, with no ifs, ands, or buts. This is who we are. I think it is an absolute reflection, at least of the voting population. As Maggie mentioned, there's lots of folks that do not engage, that did not vote. So the mandate isn't a mandate. Hell, he didn't even win 50% plus one in the election. But yeah, overall, look at the arc of the politicians. Yeah, it is the fault of the people who vote those folks in. And I would go on a little further, Wayne, and at least in my impression, in some instances, it's not that we're not only just not aware of the issues or the misinformation, and there can be that, and hell, you know, we all have something to learn. I'll go along with that. But I swear, it's almost like the ignorance is celebrated. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm a mega American. I don't have to because I'm America. You know what I'm saying? And where is that? I mean, why would you celebrate the ignorance? If there's something that you have a blind spot on, Wayne, if I don't know something, man, I want to know it. I don't want to just have it for a talking point. I want to understand and comprehend what the issues are, Wayne, not just blindly follow whatever the talking point might be.
Yeah, and how dumb do you have to be to believe that Donald Trump or any president can get an issue done in one day, let alone the first day? Like, that is just ignorance that it just astounds me.
Yeah. Well, I think thank you for the call. We certainly appreciate your input. I think there's a lot of hiding and covering behind that. You know, I do think that I don't want to broad brush on the lack of knowledge and whether or not, you know, people didn't want the black female president. But I think there is some of that out there. And sure, I get it. We had a conversation, a brief one yesterday, with one of our conservative callers. And, you know, he comes out and says, well, Donald Trump doesn't lie. And then he comes out and says, well, he lied about this. I'm like, well, yeah, man. So, yes, he did lie. Are we cutting people out because they lie, little white lies, big white lies? You know, that's, unless it hits people in the pocketbook, like Maggie says, until the mega white male and white female middle-aged megas are impacted by some of these actions, you know, they're not going to change willingly. I don't think, Wayne. I just don't think so. I think there's too much posturing on that side.
Pride? Is it the human inability to recognize that you've made a choice that was not the best one?
Sure, I think there's some of that. Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you look at perhaps some of the Hispanic Trump voters that maybe are now, you know, regretting that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the folks in Michigan went again in Dearborn, for example, that were really, really upset about Gaza.
I saw
Gaza.
A video last week that was interviewing Arab citizens of America in Dearborn asking if they regret protest votes. And the vast majority said no.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
That they're alarmed, they're concerned, but they don't regret it yet.
Well, I mean, the guy's talking about building hotels in Gaza, man, and what?
Uh-huh.
Displacing millions of people and, you know, withholding aid from Jordan and from Saudi Arabia if they don't get along with the program and, you know, throw out some tracts of land by the beach. You know, I, the whole thing. And I guess, you know, to some degree you think, yes, you got to think out of the box. I can appreciate that. But come on, man.
Let's at least keep this box
out of a Cracker Jack box. You know, yeah. This isn't serious. I don't believe this is serious. The guy's on a whim. You know, today's is going to be a hotel there, and tomorrow's going to be, you know, Greenland be red, white, and blue land.
I genuinely thought that was an article headline when I woke up this morning. No, it wasn't.
Now, the president, he does have some actual powers that can impact things. And to Wayne's point, you know, he's not going to go on day one to do something. Well, he can. He can do executive orders on day one. And I want to reiterate, I think, Maggie's opinion in her program prior to mine. These are not actions coming from a position of strength, right? These are actions coming from a position of weakness. Mm-hmm. The Republicans in Congress have a lot of problems, and Donald Trump cannot rely on them to pass this agenda legislatively. There's too many, and they have the votes. They could do it, at least in the House, right? They can get those things out there, get over to Senate, and you know if they do it through reconciliation, the Democrats can't force a filibuster. So there is a small path perhaps for the Republicans to implement in Trump's way, but that's not the way it's supposed to be done, right? You want to get things done through legislation. If you don't like the way that money is being spent, well, you change it in the legislative process and the budget. And you have the debate on the floor, and you talk about why USAID shouldn't spend $50 million on condoms to Gaza. Oh, that's right. That never happened.
Right. I also heard something about $15 million in condoms directly for the Taliban. Apparently, we're spending millions upon millions on condoms.
But that's never come up, right? We haven't seen that. And that whole thing kind of just went away to the ether. But I remember, and I don't remember a lot of things, but I remember that one because I was calling them out. That's a bunch of bunk, man. I don't believe it. And that's the other issue, one of the main issues with credibility and character. How can you possibly believe anything that comes out of this administration?
You can't.
You can't.
You just can't. Not if you have an ounce of credibility to yourself and an ounce of self-respect.
I don't believe half the things that you say.
Oh, come on.
But you know, that's the thing.
The only thing I lie to you about is time.
We've established a relationship, and we've established that lie.
Right.
She does lie to me about the time.
Yes, I do.
But if I know the lie, then it's not really a lie.
Right.
But we have established a rapport, a trust, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. This is how relationships go on, work or otherwise. That's what happens. And when you're out there, when you're a guy like Donald Trump, and everything, you have a hammer, everything's a nail, and you're so concerned about your own well-being, your own narcissistic tendencies, you can't put yourself out there for other people to make a decision based on other people. And that's not what he's doing. Now he'll hide behind the flag. Yeah, well, I'm doing this for America. Okay, sir. How is raising tariffs on Canadian steel good for America? Well, I want to bring business back here, but isn't that up to the business folks? Didn't you guys do that? And oh yeah, by the way, wasn't when you became president last time around, it was the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. Mm-hmm. You didn't like that. So he renegotiated, because he's a great negotiator, that Donald Trump. Just ask him, he'll tell you. So he renegotiated and said, well, this is now the USMCA, right? The United States, Mexico, Canadian agreement, USMCA. Mm-hmm. And then what did he do? And that was the agreement all through the Biden administration. So Donald Trump right now, in this very specific case, and there's other examples like this as well, going against his own word. His own word. The guy cut a deal. Tailored off the old deal. But he made a new deal, the USMCA. And then now he's what? Reneging on that deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's not following through on that deal and willy-nilly just throwing out some tariffs. Tariff for you, tariff for you. He's like the Oprah of tariffs. Well, why didn't you just renegotiate the USMCA then, man? What's wrong with the last deal you signed? What happened since you signed that deal to today that makes you want to just willy-nilly throw these tariffs on? Why don't you renegotiate the deal? You know what I'm saying? Where are those questions? Where's that activity? I'm just saying, the guy, you cannot trust him at his word. And that is very dangerous, especially when it comes to trying to understand what the administration is doing. It is the most powerful executive in the world. So you got to read between the lines on everything. And I'm a cynical guy. I want to believe things. I do. And maybe we'll get to it later. On some of the good things that this Trump administration has done, right, Jess?
Yeah.
We were talking about it. I was like, I don't know. We'll get there slow.
We'll get there.
But let me throw this out there before we run out of time in this segment.
No, that would never happen.
the tariffs from express.co.uk, the UK, the EU Commission, had a response. This is from yesterday's reporting on Trump mentioning the 25% tariffs against the EU as well. Here is what the EU Commission said. Quote, at this stage, we have not received any official notification regarding the imposition of additional tariffs on EU goods. We will not respond to broad announcements without details or written clarification. The EU sees no justification for the imposition of tariffs on its exports. We will react to protect the interests of European businesses, workers, and consumers from unjustified measures. In general, the imposition of tariffs would be unlawful and economically counterproductive, especially given the deeply integrated production chains the EU and U.S. established through the transatlantic trade and investment. Tariffs are essentially taxes. By imposing tariffs, the U.S. would be taxing its own citizens, raising costs for businesses, and fueling inflation. Moreover, tariffs heighten economic uncertainty and disrupt the efficiency and integration of global markets, the EU Commission has said. And again, I would point out, we we have agreements. We got handshakes or signed a piece of paper. I'm sure there was a party. You know, we go through these processes and efforts to come up with how we're going to do business together internally with our fellow citizens, of course, with our coworkers. We establish boundaries for our relationships. Well, this is no different. And we have a transatlantic trade agreement. Why not renegotiate the transatlantic trade agreement? You got problems with it. Renegotiated NAFTA to USMCA, but now you're going against that renegotiation and just imposing tariffs because you want to. So if the negotiations and the agreements that you have signed in the past are no longer good just because you don't think they're good and you don't want to follow them, how do you have any credibility in signing or agreeing to any new terms on trade or anything else? Let's think about the Democrats in Congress. The Congress is supposed to be the ones to decide how much money is spent where, and the executive branch should administer that. They cannot withhold it. They cannot impound it. They cannot put that money you meant for USMCA and put it in their, for USAID, my bad. They cannot take that money and put it in their pockets. They can't just not spend it, right? There are, and there's a reason why that the judges, the federal judges in this case, in many cases, are pushing back, because it's not how it's supposed to happen. Here in the state of Wisconsin? Oh, yeah. 25% tariffs down effect on all steel and aluminum coming into the United States. Economists and industry insiders believe the move will trigger a chain reaction that will hurt U.S. manufacturers. The concern now is with little competition coming from overseas, U.S. steel and aluminum producers will raise their prices. That means higher prices for manufacturers, which they say is bad for the country and bad for Wisconsin. Russ Klisch, the president of Lakefront Brewery. I saw Russ last week.
I was going to say, weren't you there on Friday?
I was. I talked to Russ, shook his hand. He's a nice guy, tall fella. It does feel like it's going to be a bigger issue. It could be. There's no question. The impact of steel aluminum tariffs is already being felt in Milwaukee. Lakefront Brewery canned more than 10 million cans of beer last year. What's going to happen when the price goes up? Your beer goes up. And now we got a problem. Come back with us. Your call's next. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. See you folks lining up on the lines. Be patient. We'll get to you in just a moment. A little bit more from the CBS58.com website. Talking about the tariffs here in the state of Wisconsin. They reference a Milwaukee favorite, Lakefront Brewery. They can more than 10 million cans of beer, at least last year. Their supplier uses U.S. aluminum, and if prices go up, Russ could be paying a lot more for his next contract. But there's more. There are now fears of a trade war as Canada threatens retaliatory tariffs against the United States. Apparently, according to the article here, 4% of Lakefront Brewery sales go to Canada. On Monday, Russ was on the phone with his Canadian buyer, and they said they were scared or concerned that Canadian dollar was going to tank. The uncertain economics forced Russ to hold off canning his next Canadian shipment. Quote, I wasn't quite sure if they were buying it, so we put the run off a week. And those who rely on steel say it's bad for U.S. manufacturers. Kip Eidberg, E-I-D-E-Berg, is the senior vice president of government and industry relations at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. He said tariffs on steel and aluminum are a clear and present danger to equipment manufacturers in Wisconsin. Got that?
Yep.
Tariffs on steel and aluminum are a clear and present danger to equipment manufacturers in Wisconsin. He said that about 94% of the steel used in U.S. equipment manufacturing is produced in the United States. 94%. But with steep tariffs on international competitors, he worries U.S. producers will raise their price. He said even if they're in effect for a week, 2 weeks, a month, it's still an impact, no doubt, on our industry. He said the last time Trump imposed steel tariffs in 2017, it drove up the cost of making equipment by 7 to 8%. Now he fears it will keep manufacturers from hiring and expanding. These are jobs, manufacturing jobs, that will not come back. Once they're gone forever. 7-8% last time on equipment manufacturing. Because, you know, they're working on such large margins anyway. What's another 7% when you're buying
right.
that? Yeah, that has an impact, certainly. And that's going to it's going to affect from your manufacturing. Think you know, I don't know, Oshkosh Truck here in the States. Think of Case and some of the other ones, big manufacturers here, equipment manufacturing. Komatsu, at least, is here. I mean, come on. It's going to increase costs, and it does have a ripple effect. 855-752-4842. And you raise the price of beer, and now you got a problem. Joe from Madison, you are next. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Well, I think we've got a gigantic stink bomb, courtesy of a President Idiot, rolling into our life. If people want more information on this, there's a blog called Lawyers, Guns, and Money. And the title of this particular post, I think, says it well. It says, Reciprocal Tariffs and Donald Trump's Bottomless Stupidity. I mean, this is a guy who is not familiar with the nuts and bolts of running a business. They have a guy who comments in this who is somebody who deals with tariff schedules, which is something I was completely unfamiliar with. So you have U.S. Customs, and then you have U.S. Customs agents who are people, individuals, private people who move this stuff through and have to figure out what is the amount of money that needs to be paid to the U.S. government. So if you've got these steel and aluminum tariffs, that's one thing. But he's also talking about these retaliatory tariffs.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is you have this previous situation, and now each product has to be looked at to figure out what, depending on its condition, the level of processing, where the products came from, percentage of the product that came from country X, which has a low rate, the percentage of the product that it comes from country Y that doesn't. Okay, there's 130 custom jurisdictions in the world. And so you're going to have to be dinking around with each one of them, the people at the ports. And in addition, they were talking about how we have in our manufacturing, for most places, the just-in-time manufacturing, which means you don't keep stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you need it, you go get it, okay? And it just said, we are setting up a situation where the clogging of our ports is going to be so, it's just going to slow us down amazingly. It's like you stopped work at the ports because they're going to have to be figuring this out item by item by item because there's going to be such a gnarly just snot ball that they're going to have to deal with. And he said, you know, this is what we're left with. And when the ports clog up, guess what? Manufacturing stops because they aren't getting what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's illustrative of somebody who's never had to be responsible for delivering. Never has he had to be responsible. If he doesn't make a delivery, he just says, sue him. Just sue him in the courts. That's not what we can do. We ordinary people are not subject to those sorts of rules. So I think he's just created a gigantic hairball, and good luck to us all, because it's not just steel and aluminum, it's a whole lot of other stuff.
It's certainly gonna snowball, Joe. Thank you for your input. Just a reminder here from this is from Forbes from February of 2020. So just 5 years ago, Trump tariff aid to farmers cost more than new U.S. nuclear forces.
Oof.
Now, again, this is from the last time around. He gave more taxpayer dollars to farmers harmed by the administration's trade policies than the federal government spends each year in building ships for the Navy or maintaining America's nuclear arsenal. According to a report, the National Foundation for America Policy Analysis concluded spending on farmers was also higher than the annual budgets of several government agencies. A quote, the amount of money raises questions about the strategy of imposing tariffs and permitting the use of taxpayer money to shield policymakers from the consequences of their actions. A little chart here. According to Forbes, the Trump aid to farmers last time around, $28 billion.
And that's with a B.
That's a B. That wasn't like a bailout like the auto industry got that got paid back. Oh, no. This was just out. What did he say when he was cutting those checks? He showed up as political support. Trump was open about the purpose of the payments. Quote, I sometimes see where these horrible, dishonest reporters will say, oh, geez, the farmers are upset, he told attendees of an Illinois farm show in August of 19. Well, they can't be too upset because I gave them $12 billion and I gave them $16 billion this year. I hope you like me even better than you did in 16. Yeah, as he said during the election season, it's easy with other people's money. The guy is not a great businessman. He's certainly not a great negotiator when you're cutting. But, you know, it's taxpayer dollars, not his dime. Come back. More of your calls, 855-752-4842 on the tariffs.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.